tell us we ain't gonna win, man. Really. He's a bozo. A bozo. Really.
Yeah. We did a lot for the wins. Came in a drop on a 10. Now we on top, top once again. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I had to tighten the plan. Yeah. I got it right in the end. Ay. Now we on top, top once again.
Hello, this is CJ the Nun. You're watching Game Day Gridiron. I hope everybody's having a great week, a great semester, a great time, actually. I'm going to structure this podcast the same way I did last week. Hopefully, I get a special guest appearance from somebody special later on. I hope everybody's doing good. You know, we got the last 2 weeks until fall break here at HWS, and I hope everybody's just doing all right, okay? You know, and we're going to power through this one. Trust me, I am too. These tests are kicking myself, man. It's just got a lot of studying, a lot of stuff to do, but I still love doing this. I still love doing these podcasts. Got to do them still, every time. But we're going to get into our stuff, you know, within the NFL, within college football as well. A crazy weekend, by the way, in college football, may I add, for a lot of games, one that you may know, and including Bama versus Georgia. We're going to get into that all later. But before I start with anything, we're going to be saying the AP polls and the NFL power rankings before we get started, just so, you know, everybody got a little insight into what's shaping up around college football, basically. So in the AP poll rankings, we got Alabama moving up to number one from their spot at number four last week with their win over Georgia. Then we got Texas at number two. They just fell slightly. That's kind of justified considering what Alabama just did and what they won. But they got a game this week against Oklahoma, which is going to be the Red River rivalry. I'm pretty sure. It's going to be a fun game in college football to watch this season. You got Ohio State still at number three. They haven't moved up. But Tennessee, the shocker for this season, at number four, they have just been amazing. I mean, the SEC has been dominating. And just below that is number five ranked to Georgia, who they lost to Alabama. Alabama is still Alabama after all, so that's justified too. But if I look at this right here, you got four out of the top five teams in the nation are from the SEC. Just unbelievable of a conference, man. That conference is just insane now, insanely talented. Then at number six, you got Oregon. They've been struggling a little bit throughout the season, but still, nevertheless, they are Oregon. They have been dominating, doing themselves, man. And at number seven, we got Penn State, my Nittany Lions, my team that I love. They jump up two spots from their spot at number nine last week to number seven, and they got a game against UCLA this week too. Hopefully going to dominate that. We're going to see. At number eight, we got Miami. So they had a tough game against Virginia Tech this week, and they almost lost. They almost lost off of a Hail Mary that just didn't. He didn't have his foot in bounds, I'm pretty sure. That's the story of what I heard, at least. I haven't watched the game, but that's what I'm getting from my sources, and it's just sad, you know. They almost won, and Miami, in some way, shape, or form, deserves to go down for that. And you're only at eighth ranked. I mean, like, it's not that too big of a deal. It's not like it's the end of the world or something like that. At number nine, we got Missouri. They jumped up two spots from their spot last week at 11. And they have a game this week with Texas A&M. It's going to be an interesting game. They have been an underrated team so far. They've been using their running back, I'm pretty sure, and Luther Burden. I'm 99% sure, and Brady Cook has been looking like a very, very underrated quarterback this season, so that's going to be fun as well. And then finally, at number 10, we got Michigan. Number 4-1 Michigan. They do have a very, very interesting game later this week against Washington. That's going to be a very, very nice game to see as well. Okay, guys, moving on to the NFL. The power rankings happening all across the NFL. You got the Minnesota Vikings at one. Wasn't really quite Bama and Georgia level, you know, greatness. But they still look to be dominant. Dominant as ever with Sam Darnold. which is something that I never thought I would have said as a Jets fan just like 7 years ago or something like that. I don't even know. He's not even that old. It's just, ooh, them boys just failed him, man. They failed him. I don't think I said that enough. They failed him. Carolina failed him. I mean, all it took was him to get his confidence back and for him to get some throwing motions. Yeah, it's like 7 years later, but at the same time, it's like he made himself very, very recognized to be a franchise quarterback. The chances of him staying with the Vikings, though, is very, very shaky to me. It's like, yeah, he's very good, but like you signed J.J. McCarthy. You signed J.J. McCarthy to play. You signed him in order to be able to, you know, maybe back him up for a season, learn under him, and then you throw him up to the Wolves. But, you know, that didn't really go as planned as he had a season-ending injury. And I'm pretty sure it was only in week two of the preseason, which is just devastating. You never want to see a player go down like that. But they have been as dominant as ever. And Kevin O'Connell is just a genius. He is an underrated pick for a coach of the year. He might win it if they do continue on this trajectory, man. They might. At number two, though, we got the KC Chiefs, Kansas City Chiefs, man. And they went down for one reason and one reason only. Rashee Rice, who has been dealing with like complications all off season long, who's been dealing with, I'm pretty sure, what is it? The allegations of speeding, I'm pretty sure. And, yeah, he just got an ACL tear, I'm pretty sure. That's what they think. That's what my dad is saying. They're already missing Hollywood Brown. They're already missing Isaiah Pacheco to injury as well. I'm pretty sure Hollywood Brown's on the IR list. And then you got Travis Kelce, who's not been showing up at all. I mean, he's still one of the best tight ends of this generation. Don't get me wrong, but he's on a statistically, like, worst season of his career that I think I've ever seen. He has not been making an impact. He has not been making an impact at all. And what do I blame for this? Taylor Swift. Yeah, you can hate me, but it's facts. You know it's true. You can't deny it. He just hasn't been the same since he got that haircut. He got that mustache, man. I don't know. He hasn't been the same. It's just like he hasn't been the same. Now, it's not like it's going to hurt them as bad because, well, obviously you have Patrick Mahomes. It's pretty hard to suck when you have Patrick Mahomes. But I'm just saying that it's just something to note at. That's it. Nothing hard by it. It's just, you know, the facts from what I'm hearing. And then you got the Detroit Lions with Jared Goff. He threw for a perfect passing game, 18 for 18 passing, which he has never done before in his career. And he even caught a pass before, too. And he even just threw a perfect pass to Amon-Ra St. Brown. That was just picture perfect. He did the same with Jameson Williams that turned into a touchdown, which, by the way, that dude has speed. That dude has, I think he might be faster than Xavier Worthy. That's just how fast he did. If he ran the 40, he might have broken the record, even before Worthy. But I regress, man. They have a good defense. They shut down Geno Smith all night. They forced a fumble the first quarter, and they had multiple stops in the fourth quarter that allowed them to win the game on Monday Night Football. And I'm pretty sure they even forced out the ball out of DK's hand. I mean, he still trucked like two people, but regardless, they still made a defensive play that they needed in that time of the game, and that's what helped them seal it. So they're going to be scary, that's for sure. They're going to be real scary. At number four, though, you got the Buffalo Bills. Yeah, I know. You're like, oh, CJ, why would you rank the Bills at four if they just, you know, lost by like 25-plus points? Well, I'll tell you why. I just think it's a fluke. That's it. The one thing that the Bills struggle all season long with, or I think they had the biggest hole on this team even before the season started, was their running defense. Their running defense is not very good. It's like somewhere in the 20s in terms of NFL PFF rankings. It wasn't very, very dominant. In the passing game, they were very good. I mean, you just had to play against Lamar Jackson still, but I mean, they had a trick play fumble. You know, Josh Allen fumbled the ball when he was trying to make a play downfield on the left side. Tyler Bass missed a field goal. Ravens got touchdowns early. It's just it wasn't a good showing for our defense or even our offense in terms of anything in this game. But I still predict them to win the AFC East, especially with how the Dolphins are performing and how the Jets are. Like, I don't think there was any debate before the season, but people like to hate. People like to underestimate, you know, the Bills. Even though they lost all their team, I was just like, still, they still got young players. They still got Keon Coleman. They still got a good running back in James Cook. You still got a very, very decent O-line. I mean, there's a lot of parts of his team to like, but they just got to fix the holes that they already got, man, and then you're just crystal golden at that point. I mean, let me see here. Number five, we got the Houston Texans. I'm pretty sure they had a blowout road loss. This was following up a blowout road loss. I'm pretty sure last week they lost to the Panthers, I'm pretty sure. Am I wrong? Nah, I'm not wrong, but this is troubling, but it's just that CJ Stroud has to play the hero all the time, man. It's just and when you try to play hero in the NFL, it doesn't work for you like that. I mean, not everybody has the clutch genes of Tom Brady, but not even that, it just doesn't work out because some players on a team or the team that you have, they're just not showing up when you need them crucially the most. And that's the thing that defines ball games for a lot of clubs like that. Nico Collins has surprisingly been the number one receiver over Stephon Diggs. He's more of like a wide receiver too right now this season on all that stuff. But the one thing that cost the Texans too massively besides playing hero ball is the amount of penalties they had, man. Oh my goodness, the offensive penalties, the offensive false starts, like I can't with it. It's insane. Now, do I think they're going to not win the AFC South? Absolutely not. They're going to win the AFC South, especially with the ways the Jags have been playing. I'm pretty sure. Are they 0-4? Are they 0-4? I'm pretty sure they're 0-4, which is absolutely treacherous. I don't like that. And the Titans, you know, I don't even have to say anything about them. I'm trying to remember the last team in that division. I'm pretty sure it's maybe the Colts. Even then, it's just like, yeah, bro, they still have a clear path to win that division, man. But they just got to fix up a couple of things. That's it. They got a great quarterback, got a great team of receivers, a solid defense behind them, too. It's just about executing when you need them the most and not to make stupid mistakes like that, especially on the offensive line. But at number six, we got the Baltimore Ravens, who beat my Bills, man, by over, 25 points. They shut down Josh Allen and his receivers throughout the game. They were able to score many times on the hands of Derrick Henry, who just went absolutely crazy in this game, man. I'm pretty sure he had close to 200 yards, two touchdowns, which it just reminds me of the years before when he was on the Titans and he would go up against the Bills and all the times he would make us look stupid and make our defense just look absolutely treacherous. I mean, that dude's just unstoppable. When a six-free man that has the build of LeBron James coming at you full speed, not giving a care in the world what happens to his body, it's just, yeah, man, it's dangerous. It's dangerous, I'm telling you. It's like either that, it's like the offensive version of, what's his name? Ray Lewis, basically. Just in running back form. And it's scary, man. It'll be scary to see that team come postseason time. It's just, they're 2-2 record. They were 0-2, I'm pretty sure, in the season. They came back. They came back from it. One team you can't say that came back from it was the Bengals, man. It's just, wouldn't want to be that team. But regardless, we're going to number seven, the Washington Commanders, who look to have the rookie of the year, the man with the highest completion percentage in NFL history, in Jaden Daniels, man. When this man was coming out of LSU, I was just like, this dude has all the size, has all the arm strength, has the running ability, and the decision-making to be an NFL quarterback right now. And we weren't really having the talk of him being better than Caleb Williams, because we were all like, oh, Caleb Williams is the best draft pick since Patrick Mahomes or Andrew Luck or something along the lines of that. And so far, he's been the one that's struggling, and Jaden Daniels has been looking like he's excelling. It just reminds me of Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud the year before. I mean, I'm pretty sure the Commanders have a much, much better offensive line, and their defense is also something to not even baffle about, man. And they honestly put him in a good situation compared to the Patriots, of course, with Drake May. That, you know, I can't say nothing about that. But it's going to be truly something special to watch throughout the season and see how this team does. I mean, I'm pretty sure right now they're ahead of the Cowboys, which is very, very shocking. They are a team to watch in that division. They're a team to see if they might even take the NFC East later on in this season. It's going to be a crazy game, especially their game in Week 6 when they face off against Lamar Jackson and the Raiders. That's going to be also an amazing one. That's going to be magical of a game. Going on to going on to Rank 8, we're going to see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They lost in Week 3 to the Broncos, but now after Bucs, you know, thrash Philly and all that stuff like that, and Denver beat Jets in Week 4, the performance of the Bucs defense was absolutely exhilarating. They racked up 6 sacks, yo. 6 sacks, which in NFL terms is absolutely godly amazing. You pray for 4 sacks in a game. That's just how fast quarterbacks get out of their hands. That's just how much they don't, you know, really take sacks like that. And they just been hitting the go play downfield. They've been they only committed 2 penalties on offense and didn't turn the ball over not once, which is the main reason for them being free at 1. They're a team to win the NFC, I believe, West. I'm sorry if I got that wrong. I probably got it wrong. I don't memorize divisions like that, y'all. I know I'm a football, you know, guru. But they just been making the right decisions. And I'm pretty sure that the schedule is going to be heating up now. I mean, they got next games against the Ravens, the Chiefs, the 49ers. It's going to be a tough stretch and a tough road, but even if they go 2-1 in these games, they are looking pretty, pretty nice right now for the season. They're looking pretty good for the playoffs, too. At number 9, we got the Green Bay Packers with Jordan Love in his first game since he suffered a knee injury in Week 1 of his season. He finished with a career high in completions at 32 and passing yards at 389. He also had 4 touchdowns. Although he did start the game with 2 first-half INTs, you could just rub that off with him being, a little rusty. He hasn't played since Week 1, after all. And they did soar to make the game very, very good. His accuracy has been bad, but right now, the Green Bay Packers, I mean, the only competition you have in that conference with them is the Lions, which right now look to be another team looking for contention in the Super Bowl or even an NFC championship at least this year, man. And it's going to be very, very, very interesting to see how that's all going to play out. At number 10, we got the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, there was so much talk this offseason about who was going to start for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, the goal at first was to make Russell Wilson start, but after a while, Justin Fields just started doing his thing. He just started, you know, dominating in his own right, which nobody saw coming. You just saw the preseason and him struggling against, you know, maybe backups and stuff like that, and you got a little scared. You got a little worried about, like, we don't really have a quarterback right now. And it's just he's been making decisions right after right decision. And the more and more you see him play and more you see him, you know, develop himself as a true quarterback in this league, you really wonder if it was like, was it really, you know, his fault that Chicago didn't succeed? Was it really was he really the problem? Because I'd argue that Caleb Williams has a 10 times better team around him, yet he's not succeeding whatsoever. Maybe the Bears just suck at drafting quarterbacks. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm just sounding stupid, and, you know, these other teams must be doing something that I don't know. But it's just, you know, he's just been excelling so far. I mean, he was a lot more bad than – no, he was a lot more good than bad, though, in this game against the Colts. He did have a sack fumble that costed Pittsburgh a little bit in the third quarter. But it was a high snap. So, honestly, I don't blame him for that. The Steelers just always find out a way to be good. Just some way, somehow, even maybe with bad QB play or even before they had good QB play, it's just they still find a way to win, man. They found a way to win with Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett last season and make it into the playoffs. I don't know. Mike Tomlin is one of my favorite coaches in the league. He knows what he's doing, y'all. He always knows what he's doing. He's always confident. And first of all, his defense is amazing with T.J. Watt and Cameron Hayward on that team. But you also got Minka too. You got to think about it. Like, dang, they really stacked on defense. But they're just about team. That team that's always good. Just don't know. They're really good. That's the Steelers for you. They just always find out a way to be good. I mean, that's the Steelers for you. I'm going to talk about games in college football because we had a good weekend of college football, y'all. A very, very good weekend. We're going to start off with the best game of the week. Maybe not even best game of the week. Maybe best game of the year. In Alabama versus Georgia. This game was a very, very high, intense game. Both quarterbacks just looking absolutely flawless. This is how I view it. Jalen Milroe dominated the first half. Carson Beck dominated the second half. In the first half, Carson Beck, he was piss poor terrible. I mean, you couldn't have a better showing, honestly, or better, like, bad showing. Two interceptions in the first half. And I'm pretty sure both of them led to touchdowns, which is not good. Jalen Milroe, on the other hand, he only has one interception in this entire game. He had four touchdowns in total, 374 yards passing, 117 yards on the ground with two touchdowns as well. And the one interception that he got from that game was from the tight end, who initially caught it, but then it bounced off his body and went into the defender's hand. I don't even count it as his fault at that point. But mostly throughout this game, it was just, in the first half, it was Georgia making mistake after mistake after mistake. And it led to them being down 30-7 to Bama at one point. And they just kept on, they didn't let up. I have to give Georgia credit. They did not let up when it looked tough. Because after that, they just started scoring and scoring and scoring. I mean, they outscored us, I'm pretty sure, in the second half, which is embarrassing. It got to a point where they beat us. They almost beat us. They almost beat them, man. They were, what was the score again? I'm pretty sure Georgia was up 34-33, something like that. I'm trying to remember specifically what it was. Yeah, it was 34-33 Georgia, and this is my favorite play probably of the year they did too. It was first down and 10 at the 25, y'all, at the 25, and you could say, oh, they have 2 minutes and 30 seconds left. They have the 2 minute warning. They have free timeouts. You got to play it downfield, but, you know, not make any mistakes. No, Jalen Milroe says, hell no. Just throw it downfield. Throw it downfield to the freshman phenom, by the way. He catches it, turns around, runs straight, you know, does a little back juke to make them fall into each other, and then spins around up the sideline. For a touchdown. That right there may have been the greatest move I've ever seen. any true freshman, regardless of a 17-year-old or not, make in his entire life. I just don't know how this man is not old enough to buy cigarettes or buy a lottery ticket. Yeah, he's out here cooking grown men like it's nothing. And dominating at that. He had 6 receptions for 177 yards, for crying out loud. He's different. Is it honestly bad to say that he is one of, if not the best receivers in college football? I mean, him and Jeremiah Smith already are carrying this class, man. This freshman class is looking to be an all-timer, man. And 3 to 4 years, we're going to see this class, and we're going to look back on it, and we're going to be like, damn, man, so many stubs in this class. This reminds me of the 2021 draft, or the 2020 draft, or something like that. It's just so magical, so much firepower. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
And Xavien Brown, number 2, we got to talk about him on the defensive side. He went out there, he got cooked all game. I'm be straight up. He got cooked all game. It just rallied. It shaked him, man. He didn't look back for the ball on so many occasions, which is why they got open every time, and which is why they got back in the first place. I mean, he led us to being – they were on the 57, their own 57, and he just chucks it downfield, and then completion. There you go at the 2, and then they just score on the next play. So at first he was going to be one of the people you point out to be partially responsible for that. But then, of course, you know, Ryan Williams came in. And then obviously after that, he came up clutch, straight up. On the right side, Carson Beck throws it deep down the field. It looks like it might be a touchdown, but he goes up like Richard Sherman and pulls it down, and then that's game over. And gentlemen right there. That is game of the year for that reason, because we know it was going to be a masterclass. You got the number 2 ranked team and the number 4 ranked team going at it, and we knew it was going to be something special. We knew it was going to be a good finish. We just didn't know it was going to be this good of a finish. Just, it's game of the year already. No debate, no decision, no playback. Just facts, man. Anyways, moving around to college football, though, I'm going to see the other games, even though that is definitely game of the year. You got number 7 Penn State against number 24 Illinois. Penn State's offense has been minuscule all season. I mean, I don't know what Drew Aller is doing, man. 21 points to 7. We just rely on our defense, I'll be honest. That's the only reason why we're getting past folks, or the only reason why we're like scraping past people to begin with. Let me see here. Texas dominates their game with Mississippi State. 35-13. I mean, they are still without Quinnen Ewers. My sources have been telling me that he's going to be coming back sometime relatively in the next week or two for their probably next game where he's going to come back. I mean, he's only gone for like 4 games, I believe. But that's the thing with Quinnen Ewers, man. He's just so injury prone. Like, it just every single time I look up to him and I'm like, this guy is really, really good. He just gets injured, man. And that's the thing that's going to tank his draft stock, to be real with y'all, man. Just his lack of inconsistency when it comes to playing ball. But regardless, he can ball, so it's kind of worth it. Then you got Notre Dame barely scraping out against Louisville, 31-24 in that game. Got a top 25 matchup in that one. It's just there. Notre Dame, if you want to ask me what the most overrated program is in the entire landscape of college football, there's none of a bigger fraud than Notre Dame. Not even Colorado or USC are as big of frauds. They just find every single year to be worse and worse, and they might never win that national championship, man. Hell, they might not even make that college football playoff, that 12-team college football playoff now. It's just, they always find a way to be overrated some way, shape, or form. But, you know, it is what it is. Then you got a surpriser. We got a surprising game in Kentucky versus Ole Miss. You got 12th-ranked Ole Miss losing to Kentucky by 3 points, 20-17. My goodness, what is happening there, Jackson Dart? Mr. Heisman favorites. Oh, those favorites must have went down tremendously, man. I mean, Kentucky, I don't know. There's something about them this year that's just changing. They only lost to Georgia by 1 point. By 1 point. And the score was like 13-12, which was the amazing part. I don't know what happened. They have just decided to turn around their season. They decided to be good this year. Amazing. Exceptionally good, man. Just, I don't know what's happening with Ole Miss. I had them as an underrated team this season, but apparently, nope. You know, screw that. Just going to be trash again. And then we got Virginia Tech against Miami, man. I mean, they only lost because of a prayer, man. That was a very, very good game to see, though. A very good game. Cam Ward was balling out. Not going to lie. They was balling out all game, man. That dude's Heisman favorites must have went up tremendously, man. I'm going to try and get the stats out here for y'all. 4 touchdowns. He did have 2 INTs, 343 yards. But he did enough to make it to where his team was going to be able to win the game. So at that point, that's all that matters, man. That's all that matters. And, hey, you're still 8th ranked. You did go down, I think, too, because 2 spots in, like, the AP poll because, you know, you had a close game against 2-3 Virginia Tech. But this is my philosophy on it. Every team somewhere across the line is going to be struggling with a team that, you know, shouldn't be even in the game. It's like, I don't want to compare it to a rivalry weekend game. It's like Kentucky versus Georgia. You know, Georgia should have probably dominated Kentucky. Like, no doubt on everything, they should have just beat them straight out by 30 points. But obviously, sometimes it doesn't go that way. Because you also got to think of the players. Like, if it's Alabama versus Georgia, for example, Alabama knows what they're going up against in Georgia. They are an amazing team, and they're going to have to ball out today. They are ready to ball out today. Now, if it's a team that, you know, you're underestimating and you think you're going to win because you're such a great team, then that's also another thing. You're going to let your guard down. You're going to let these teams that shouldn't be in the game be in the game. And looks like sometimes they have the chance to win because of the mistakes that a team can make when they already think they're all Hollywood and all that stuff, man. It's just, it's true. It's a fact. You know, you don't have to believe me, but it's true, man. Just, it is what it is. You know what I mean? All right. Now that I got through college football, I'm going to tell y'all all your scores around the NFL. If you do want to skip, it's probably going to be a minute, 2 minutes. Nothing too crazy. Just saying what we got here. We're going to look over at Dallas versus the Giants. Sorry. The Dallas Cowboys beat the Giants fair 20-15. Bengals beat the Panthers 34-24. The Falcons beat the Saints 26-24. You got the Texans beating the Jaguars 24-20. You got the Broncos beating the Jets by only 1 point, 10-9 in a very, very low scoring game. You got the Packers losing to the Vikings 31-29 in a very, very close game in Jordan Love's return. You got the Colts beating out the Steelers by 3 points, 27-24. A good showing over there by the Colts. You got the Bears beating out the Rams for their second win of the season, 24-18 against Matthew Stafford and those injured LA Rams. And then you got the Eagles losing to the Buccaneers 33-16 in a matchup of last year's divisional round. Just, they got their number every time, man. I guess that's how it is. You got the 49ers beating the Patriots 30-13. Just an absolute domination. Juwan Jennings being as good as ever. And then you got the Commanders absolutely destroying, dismantling the Cardinals 42-14 with their freshman phenom and potential rookie of the year, too, in Jaden Daniels. The Chiefs beat out the Chargers 17-10 in that one, remaining undefeated throughout the course of the season. They're going to have a hard game next week. I'm trying to see what team we're going to verse next week. I just know it's going to be good. We're going to be versing the Saints next week, and the week after that, going to be versing the 49ers. It's going to be a difficult path a little bit there for the Chiefs in the next couple of weeks. Then you got the Browns The Browns losing to the Raiders 20-16. a good game, show out there by Davante Adams. You got the Bills losing to the Ravens on Sunday Night Football, 35-10. And then our first two Monday Night Football games in a while. You got the Titans beating the Dolphins in that one, 31-12, looking like they're missing Tua Tagovailoa very, very much, man. He's not even going to be active for the season until after Week 8. So mark that on your calendars, Dolphins fans. You got the Lions beating the Seahawks in the dismantling 42-29 victory, where Jared Goff goes absolutely insane, hits Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams in stride for touchdowns. And those are your scores for the week, y'all. Also, y'all, I got some breaking news from Bleacher Report. Ryan Williams, after his insane game against Alabama versus Georgia, his NIL evaluation went from $768,000 to over $1.5 million. The man doubled his NIL evaluation for the insane game that he had and the insane touchdown that he had against Alabama versus Georgia, man. It's just, he's just insane. Like, generational isn't even a word to say when you're talking about Ryan Williams, because he's just, he's that good. At 17 years old, this man should still be in a high school classroom. He should still be dating high schoolers. And he's doing this already at the age he is. just insane. He's going to be amazing, man, of a receiver to watch, especially over the next couple of years. The NFL is not going to even know what hit him, especially, man. But I'm going to go flip over. We're going to have a special guest to talk about football here later on, but we're going to talk about the NBA, because I haven't really been talking about the NBA a lot. I've just been talking about football, because football, hey, it's my main sport. I'm going to be honest with y'all, but basketball, I love that too. You know, I got to talk about it, especially since the NBA season is about a month away. And there hasn't been much to talk about much in basketball terms, but one thing I do want to say before I talk anything basketball, we got to talk about Dikembe Mutombo. If you guys don't know, Dikembe Mutombo is a basketball player, a former NBA player, who unfortunately over the weekend died. I'm pretty sure it was to old age in Atlanta, Georgia. He died September 30th. He was a very, very good NBA player, probably one of the best of his era. And yeah, his cause of death was brain cancer. He didn't let anyone know. So first of all, I gotta, pay respects to the man. He's a great NBA player, a Hall of Famer, and he is a very, very vocal advocate for the NBA global ambassador. And he just had a very, very strong impact on the game. So, gotta give prayers up to his family over there. But moving on to different things, something also important happened, not over the weekend, but last week. Late last week, we got to find out that Derrick Rose, retired from the NBA. And I know it's like nothing too, how do I say this? It's not like he was an absolute, legendary Hall of Famer. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. Probably in his community, he is. The effect that D. Rose had on my love for the game of basketball growing up as a kid, man, throughout my childhood, it's just insane. I love D. Rose. D. Rose was, everything. He was a cultural icon, bro. Some guy, among the likes of Allen Iverson. That type of effect is just, unheard of for a long time. He had the grip on our young generation, man. He was just an absolute, baller of a player. The youngest MVP in NBA history. Multiple all-star appearances. He's the one player that I would have loved to see get a ring. Just love seeing his future outside of basketball. Because he is a very, very, very you know, social advocate. He is very, very vocal about wanting to make a change in his community. He's been doing that since day one, since he was in Chicago, since he was in New York and Memphis, all those cities. So, honestly, he's one of my favorite players ever. Love seeing him play, man. And y'all got to put on some D Rose highlights, man. This man was legendary. Just check it out. Check like even 5 minutes, and you're going to understand what I say about this man being absolutely legendary. Also, I didn't forget about the Knicks fans, by the way. Knicks, you know, we're in upstate New York right now. Met a lot of Knicks fans. And we got to talk about the trade that happened over the course of the weekend that everybody's talking about, man. Timberwolves and Knicks made a trade, sending Karl-Anthony Towns over to the Knicks in return for Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo, and I believe a 2026 first-round pick. And honestly, it's an A-plus on both sides. This is the first time I might actually give a trade an A-plus overall so far in the season because, it benefited both sides in a way. New York, after Jalen Brunson took that pay cut, has had flexibility, I'll say, with the new CBA and flexibility to spend that money into improving their team, into being more competitive, especially in the Eastern Conference. And honestly, for the Minnesota Timberwolves too, they weren't really using Karl-Anthony Towns like that. He hasn't really made an impact like that for them as in years past, and it just felt like time eventually was going to run down to the point where you were even gonna trade Kat right now for a big asking price, for a big amount. Or you're just going to wait out his contract later down the line, and then he's going to be offered or, like, he's going to be worth less and less and less. And it's just you can't do that if you want to be competitive in the NBA, especially, I believe, with the Boston Celtics. I believe they traded Drew Holiday, I'm pretty sure. Or not Drew Holiday. What was it? The Milwaukee Bucks traded Drew Holiday in return to get Damian Lillard's contract. But that's besides the point. You know, the Knicks got a good player that's going to be playing the center for them. He could play power forward even, and you could slide in Mitchell Robinson at the five. And it's just he's gonna be a good lineup. He's going to be a good pair next to Jalen Brunson. He's a guy that could shoot the free ball relatively well. He's been a career high, 40% from free scorer at the center position, which is very, very remarkably good. And for the Timberwolves, you got a player in Julius Randle that could potentially come off the bench and help out that second unit when Anthony Edwards and Rudy Gobert isn't on the lineup. So that's very, very good and appealing for them. I'd give both trades, to be honest with you, an A-plus on both sides. It's a very, very good deal, and hopefully they're both going to be competitive this season, especially the Knicks. You know how I get with my Knicks. They is good. I love them. I'm telling you. Okay, now for our next segment here, I'm going to introduce my guest for y'all today. This is my boy, Zane. How you doing, Zane?
I'm doing amazing, CJ. Thank you so much for having me on this podcast. I'm so fortunate to be here.
No problem, bro. You know our boy Chase, that was on the last podcast I had, right? He's unfortunately not going to be here today. But right after I did that podcast, you came up to me in the gym, man, and you said you wanted to do this stuff.
Sure.
Before I get started, what made you, want to do that stuff?
I thought it would be cool. It'd
be very cool?
Yeah. Love talking about sports. Mm-hmm. Heard Chase had a good time.
Very good time. What sports do you really like, or do you like to cover?
I really like football, soccer fan. A little bit about, I just like more so college sports, basketball, mm-hmm. a little bit. My boys play, all my sports. I'm the only guy in my friend group's not play a college sport. Mm-hmm. But I do have start my own businesses, so you can look at it, as positive or negative. So, yeah. What about you, CJ? What about you?
Honestly, I love sports ever since I was a little kid. First, I was a baseball player before anything.
Interesting.
I mean, first through fifth grade, I played Little League Baseball. Our team won the championship in fifth grade. I stopped playing that after that, and then I just started playing basketball all the way up until high school, and then ever since then, it's just been about football, and stuff like that. Love football now.
Yeah, I heard you were trying to be on the Hobart Williamson football team.
Well, I am. That's an interesting story to talk about. So far, I just wanted to work on my development as a player ever since then, ever since high school especially, and just to work on getting to the football team. And
so are you on the football team right now?
Not yet. Okay. Not yet. I was actually committed to play somewhere else at Cortland.
Really?
Yeah, at Cortland originally to be a walk-on. But then after that, after a while, it was just like this place offered me more money. It's going to be more beneficial for me, so I just decided to be here.
So you committed as a walk-on. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. But then you chose to come here?
Yeah,
okay.
Because the money overall was better.
Nice.
It was going to be a better fit anyway for my family.
Nice.
I didn't want to put no stress on the family or anything like that.
Sure,
so.
Definitely.
I kind of felt bad, though, at the same time, because I did put a post on my Instagram saying, yo, I was committed to Cortland and all that stuff like that. And I still haven't taken it down.
Really?
Yeah, it's still on there. I'm sorry about that. But
sure. Like, and so have you said now that you're going to Hobart?
Yeah, I put it in the description that I'm going to Hobart now and stuff like that. I don't know if I want to take it down, though.
How come?
I don't know, because, like, it was, like, a very, very good post for me, like, people gave me a lot of confidence in that post and stuff like that, and I like going back to it. And
sure.
Just thinking about it. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah, even though you're not committed there anymore, right?
Even though, nah.
Okay.
No. But I do have a friend that goes there. That's the main reason.
Okay.
Why I was committed in the first place.
Okay.
So.
Nice.
Overall, it was good.
Nice.
But you gotta tell me more about what you like about sports, man. Go more in depth.
I think sports have been an essential part of humans, as we've evolved since, the beginning of our existence. Mm-hmm. Humans have always craved, some sort of physical exertion, whether that be working around the house or as women, or going out on hunts, as men. Mm-hmm. Physical exercise has always been an essential key of living a balanced life, especially to today, where it's often harder to do. Mm-hmm. As people, are often, on their phones a lot, or they're, at home a lot, especially with COVID. Remember COVID?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people stayed at home, a lot. And so, I've always just been a big fan of physical exercise. I played soccer my whole entire life. Mm-hmm. There used to be videos of me, when I was younger, just playing defensive offense and soccer, just running, just sprinting literally the whole games, the whole field, because I just had so much energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just an essential part of it. So, I love watching other people do it, and it inspires me to also, become better at it as well.
So it's had a very, very, very hard and, important impact on your life, you would say.
Decently important. I think it's not more, my body is a goal, my mind is a goal. I feel like it's definitely been my body's goal, to do that, to exert effort, work towards doing things.
Okay. Great. I mean, I hope that you watched all the sports that happened over the past week.
Oh yeah,
stuff like that. Yep. All the good games.
What team you support for NFL?
For NFL right now?
Yep.
I'm a Giants fan. We're not really having a good
sucks.
Season. But
you haven't had a good past five seasons.
No, we haven't at all. No. Ever since Eli Manning retired, it's just been absolutely trash.
It's been terrible.
But also, I'm a Bills fan.
Okay.
Mainly just a Josh Allen fan.
Okay.
He's generational.
He is good. I feel like generational is a bit of a push. Generational is more like Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson.
Or maybe Caleb Williams in college. But Josh Allen is pretty good. Pretty good.
You said, what was the last player you said before?
I said Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson? I don't know about that.
What?
Yeah,
you and Josh Allen's better than Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, yes.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Are you serious right now? You really think Lamar's better?
Yeah, for one season, maybe Josh Allen has been in competition. But Lamar has been this good for five, maybe seven seasons.
Are we talking about rushing or are we talking about overall?
Overall as a quarterback, and that includes rushing.
Josh Allen is better than.
No, Josh Allen can't rush like Lamar.
Okay, name a stat that Lamar was better in last season.
Rushing.
What about rushing touchdowns?
I don't even know.
Josh Allen had that.
Really?
Yes.
How many yards?
I don't know. I gotta look up the details, but he
had
like 15.
I think yards matters because I feel like the Ravens have done better overall their last year. I feel like they did better than the Bills last year.
But that's because they had a better defense.
I know, but I feel like Lamar did his job on offense to help his team get to the end.
Listen, I understand that it's a team succession. It's a team game after all, but
Definitely.
At the same time, you got to look at it from this way. Josh Allen has been carrying his team every single year. He has not had a top 10 defense yet.
Yep.
In the NFL.
Yep.
And he's still taking that team to the playoffs.
Sure.
And competing. Sure. Every single year.
It's all about the quarterback, really. I mean, it's not all about the quarterback, but a big part of having a good team is about having a good quarterback. Do you sports bet?
Do I support what?
Do you sports bet?
Yeah, I do sports bet a little bit.
Okay.
They're really bad at making picks.
You are?
Earlier
that
in the
sucks.
Season. No, not me. I'm talking about like prize picks.
Oh,
and, like,
okay,
all those
okay,
other
okay.
Sports betting.
Okay.
That's why you got to
sure.
do it early.
Yeah.
They also had free picks September, I think.
Okay.
This past month.
Nice.
So it's like a free square every single week of the NFL season.
Nice.
They had like Caleb Williams free square. All he had to get was one passing.
Nice.
So it's honestly very, very good. I sports bet a lot. What are some of the picks that you like made the past week?
I don't sports bet. I don't gamble. Mm-hmm. I think it's not really smart to do if you want to make money, and I'm really all about making money.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have a lot of friends who make money, who sports bet. And I just came up with a pretty good strategy. I do have to keep it a secret because it's that good. But yeah, they've been making money off of it. More wins than losses. So that's what I can hope for, I guess, as a sports better.
Okay, I respect that. I respect a man that doesn't like to gamble, man. It's just I know how gambling is sometimes.
Yep.
You just gotta make sure that you don't overdo it. That's
sure.
a problem.
Yep.
But
or don't lose money.
And or don't lose money, especially.
It's difficult especially. To do. Difficult to
don't,
do.
Don't manage your business or something. Don't go out here spending $10,000
sure.
on something.
Sure,
can't,
sure, sure.
Can't do what Drake
sure.
does.
Yeah, because you don't have Drake money.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah. No, can't be doing that. No.
Can't be doing it, man. But any good games you saw around the NFL or the college football you've seen this past week?
Let's see. What about you?
Bama versus Georgia is
definitely number
one. Oh, that
was a great game. I love that game.
What was your favorite part of the game?
The ending.
The ending?
Yeah,
like,
that was so teed. That was so lit. That was so electric. I mean, first it was like, 31-7? Alabama was leading Georgia. I was like, Jesus Christ, like, what's going on, right? Then Georgia comes back. Then they get that touchdown. They're up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I forget his name. What's that 17-year-old?
Ryan Williams.
Dirty guy. I don't remember his name, but I mean that last play where he caught it, juked one guy or juked two guys, made them fall into each other, and then made another play to go to take to the house. I mean that was electric. 17 years old, true
he's
freshman.
17 years old, man.
Yep.
And he's already generational. He's on the cusp of being like Devontae Smith level.
Okay.
Good. Probably even better.
Okay.
Straight with
if he doesn't get injured. Yep.
If he doesn't get injured.
Sure.
But that shouldn't be a problem whatsoever. I saw something, like I said it earlier on the podcast before you came,
sure.
but his NIL evaluation actually doubled.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense, yep. That doesn't surprise me at all.
He's worth $1.5 million, man.
That doesn't surprise me.
It's just, he's insane. I mean,
how much do you want to be worth?
I want to be worth millions.
Sure.
Everybody wants to be worth millions, but
sure.
it's about putting in the hard work to get there, man.
Oh, yeah.
That dude definitely has put in the hard work. You could definitely see it, man.
Oh, yeah.
What else was I going to say? Oh, also, you got to forget about number – you can't forget about number two also on the defense.
On
side.
Who?
Zabian Brown. He was the guy that made the interception.
Yeah.
Because, like, all throughout the game, I'm going to be straight up. He was getting burnt.
Sure.
He was getting torched all game. But when he needed to step up,
yeah,
they stepped up.
Yep.
And we're both true freshmen, man.
Yep.
It's just the freshman class this year, I'd have to say, is on cusp to be one of the best ever.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
You
and
got,
what makes you say that?
I mean, you got different players. I mean, you got the guy from South Carolina. I'm pretty sure his name is Dylan Stewart off
sure.
the edge. He dominated week one, and he's still having a dominant season
sure.
for a true freshman. And then you got receivers like Jeremiah Smith and
yeah.
Ryan Williams out here that are torching, college-level defenses like it's nothing.
Sure.
And then you got the quarterbacks like Dylan Raiola. He's going
yep.
off so far. DJ Lagway, did you see the game that he had
no,
a couple
I didn't
weeks
see it.
Ago?
No, I didn't see it.
He had a fantastic game for Florida. Five
nice.
Touchdowns,
nice.
I believe. Zero INTs.
Nice.
Just they're good. They're studied everywhere.
Yeah.
Man.
It's a good play. Yep. Nice.
They're good. So, it's going to be interesting to see
cool.
come the NFL draft. I think it's going to be an all-timer. That's my guess.
Nice.
That's my guess.
And yeah, that'd be cool.
Any of the sports you'd say like, you got any info on or like?
There's a lot of different stuff going around. I mean, do you watch like Well, so like, what are all the sports that you watch? You didn't tell me this.
Well, right now it's basketball, football,
sure.
and then baseball.
Sure.
Right now, I'm trying to expand, but it's like I gotta find the time to do it and stuff sure. like that.
Sure.
But those are mine right now.
Sure. Interesting. Interesting. And I heard you're looking to find more people to go on your podcast. That's really the reason why I want to come on here. I heard that this was something that you started yourself, right?
Yeah, I just started it myself.
Nice, yeah. So, I mean, I always like to support, you know, young people starting new things. So, yeah, that's just yeah. why I want to come out here, see what's up.
Yeah, before I made the podcast with Chase, I actually made two other podcasts.
Really?
Yeah, but it was to the point where it was like, I don't really want to post this because, like, I just found it boring.
Sure.
If I find something boring, I'm not going to put it out there.
Nice.
It's not going to be, you know, good. I don't want to bore people with a yeah. podcast.
Sure.
Especially for my first ever one.
Sure, sure.
So, got to make it good. That's just me.
Nice, nice. So. Good stuff. Yeah, I like that. So, what are you thinking about for next week in terms of sports?
In terms of sports,
yeah.
I mean, the basketball season around the corner.
Yep.
I might make my picks for early NBA champs.
Really?
No, stuff like that.
Interesting.
Yeah. See my
okay.
power rankings.
Okay. What are you thinking about right now? I know trades are still going on, but what are you thinking right now?
Right now, like in terms of who I think is going to win
yeah.
it all,
yeah.
the Celtics have. What?
Yeah. Keep going.
The Celtics have a real, real chance of repeating.
Sure,
Or repeating.
Sure.
And who else? I think maybe the Denver Nuggets, even the New York Knicks after the trade that they just made. Very potential Eastern Conference champs.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
If they make it past the Boston Celtics.
Fair enough. And that'll be tough.
Yeah.
It's a tough if.
Honestly, what I'm viewing is
Are you a Knicks fan?
Oh, I'm a huge Knicks
really?
Fan.
Really? Where are you from?
Oh, I'm from New Rochelle. That's like basically
that?
From the city.
Oh,
that's
really?
Like right above the Bronx area.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I used to go to Madison Square Garden all the time to watch
nice.
The Knicks and stuff
nice.
Like that.
Cool.
And it's been a treat every time, man.
Nice. That's great.
Good. Especially Jalen Brunson, man.
Yeah. He's dirty. He's dirty.
He's dirty. He's 6'1", yet he is.
Yeah, he's dirty.
He's a great player.
He's a great ass player.
He's a bad man.
What do you think about Bronny? Do you think Bronny's ever going to touch the court with LeBron?
Bronny,
I feel like maybe once or twice that might happen just for LeBron's legacy, but I don't know if he's going to get any points up, to be honest.
I mean, that's what I heard, too. Apparently, he's going to touch the floor once, and that's going to be the first game.
Oh,
and then we're going to send him to the G League after that. It's just
that would make sense to me, actually.
It would
make most sense.
And it's also a good marketing strategy.
Yeah,
too.
I agree with that. They're going to sell a lot of games, to be honest, if they know that Bronny and LeBron are going to be playing them in.
A lot of games and a lot of jerseys.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially, man. I also saw something funny. So you know LeBron's wife, right?
Savannah. Yeah.
So it was funny. She made a tweet saying that she started playing as her son in the game. And everybody was making jokes like, oh, she's playing with her own created my player, stuff like that. Yeah, it was just funny as hell, man. And, you know, I found it ironic. I mean, having both your husband and your son in a game.
Yeah. Wouldn't you like to do that?
Of course. Who doesn't?
Yeah. Interesting.
How would you feel if you were in a game or if your son was in a game with you?
Yeah, that'd be cool. If I was LeBron, yeah, that'd be cool. Not if I was Savannah. I wouldn't be Savannah.
Why not? Your son's still in the game. Yeah. I mean,
I guess.
Shoot, I
would
be
guess.
Proud.
I guess. I don't know. I feel like being a housewife would be boring. I don't know.
Hey, bro.
Yeah, teach their own, eh? Teach their own.
What?
Teach their own.
Yeah, I know.
So, have you had any good? Have you had any good summer sports experiences?
Summer sports experiences.
Yeah.
I mean. It's just for football, honestly.
Sure.
Maybe I do track during the summer, too.
Okay.
But mainly it's just the preseason.
Interesting.
That's me kicking my butt, man. Just doing all that running, doing all those workouts that are just insane to me, by the way.
Interesting.
But they help.
Did you go to any sports games this summer?
This summer? I went to actually training camp for the Giants.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was nice. I got to see Malik Nabers before
nice.
All that
That's
stuff.
Cool.
And it's amazing. I went with one of my best friends from high school. His name is Bryce. And
Bryce? Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And he was very, very great. I got to see Dexter Lawrence, too. I got to see some good offensive linemen like Evan Neal and all that stuff. So it was a very, very nice showing.
Nice.
And actually, last December, I went to the Pinstripe Bowl.
I don't know
if you know what that is. That's a
I don't know that. No.
That's a bowl game in Yankee Stadium that happens after Christmas Day.
I also went to a baseball game.
Really?
When? Yeah, in San Francisco.
Oh, really?
I kind of saw the Giants. I believe it was playing the Toronto Blue Jays. That was the most electric game I've ever been to in my entire life.
Why so?
So, I was there with my family, right? Just about to leave before we left, before I came back to the United States. Or, sorry, back to Washington to see the Capitol United States.
Uh-huh.
And so, they were playing the Blue Jays. We got there. The game was electric. Everyone was buzzing. So, what happened was the San Francisco Giants were down, I believe it was 3-1, right? This is like top of the ninth, right? Or I think it was bottom of the ninth. Everyone thought the game was over, right? So, they start getting more players on the plates. It wasn't fully bases loaded. I don't really watch like baseball too much. I don't really know all the terms and shit.
Yeah, I understand.
But yeah, it was like, I believe it was like one player was on base or something. It was like two players on base. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it was. So two players on base. The guy, he goes up, hits it. Not a fully home run, but two guys, like, they sneak their way home. Like, one guy runs past, and one guy's like sliding. It's like one of those things where it's like the guy's sliding, and the guy like catches it, and he like just narrowly misses him.
Yeah.
So then it gets tied up. Right, ninth. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's all good.
Ninth, right?
Uh-huh.
Then, so the guy makes it all the way down, right? The guy who was, because it was like it was at 1-2 right before, I forget who the hitter was, before the hitter hit the ball. But it was at 1-2 and the hitter, right?
Uh-huh.
Then it ended up that the hitter ended up getting on third, on third base, right? So all tied up, runner on third. Then this guy goes up to hit it. It's like two outs. Mm-hmm. Two outs. He hits it. He bunts it. He bunts it to the side. Then the runner like runs in and like scores. Electric. Electric. Everyone starts jumping up, screaming. Oh my God. That was like the most insane game I've ever been to in my entire life. Everyone was throwing popcorn, throwing beer, everyone's like screaming. It was so I lost my voice. I was just so ecstatic with that game.
And that
it was
that
insane.
Was game.
That was game. Game. It was game. It was game. Oh my. Yeah, they won it like that. And it was like you would have never thought that they would be able to come back from that position and win. It was insane.
The power of teamwork is incredible,
right?
Bro.
That's a good lesson.
Yeah, bro. You can't ever give up.
Love
that's the one thing. In sports especially.
Yeah.
I know the same thing because I watched 28-3 with the Patriots. You saw that Super Bowl?
Yes, I did. Yep.
One of the best Super Bowls ever, man.
Yep.
The position they were in late in the third quarter to come back from that position.
Yep.
Just, I don't think I'll ever see it ever again, bro. And
that was
just
insane.
It was amazing. They just didn't give up.
Were you at that game?
No, I watched the game live on TV.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
And it was amazing.
Do you have a favorite halftime Super Bowl performance, CJ?
Honestly, not really. I don't really watch them.
Fair enough. Michael Jackson
from back in the 90s, I guess, had to be one of them.
I didn't get to watch that one.
You didn't get to watch that one?
I was born in 2005, no.
Oh, I mean,
when were you born?
Oh, I wasn't born anytime near that, bro.
Okay.
I'm just saying I went back on the recording and I saw it.
Oh, fair enough.
Now, talking about like live performances,
yeah.
Probably that one where they had Eminem and like all those people come out.
Yeah,
the LA one.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That was a great one. But Kendrick Lamar is performing this year.
I heard about that. What do you think about that?
That's gonna be a very, very interesting one.
And what I know, I saw that there was some controversy around that surrounding that Lil Wayne. I think it's gonna be New Orleans.
Yeah.
Louisiana.
Yeah.
And Lil Wayne is from New Orleans, Louisiana. And there was some controversy going around because Lil Wayne is from Louisiana. New Orleans, Louisiana, wasn't selected to perform at the halftime show in New Orleans, Louisiana. It was actually Kendrick Lamar.
Mm-hmm. I kind of find that kind of disrespectful.
Yeah.
In some type of way. I mean,
he's done so much for that community.
He does. The people of New Orleans love Lil Wayne, bro.
Yes, they do.
He's a generational icon to him.
Yes.
And the thing about it is that Kendrick, in his early stages of his career, took a lot from Lil Wayne.
I agree with that.
So I feel like it would only be right for him to probably put Lil Wayne on that stage.
No, that's a great point.
That's just
100%.
Me. That's just me. But I feel like it would look absolutely electric.
I agree
electric.
With that 100%.
It could be that one Super Bowl that I talked about with the Rams where they just brung out a lot of rappers and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was great. Was that when 50 Cent?
I think it was 50 Cent, Snoop Dogg, Eminem.
Yep.
I'm trying to remember the last one. Maybe it was
those guys
Wayne.
Were big powerhouses all at the same time.
They were.
Remember that?
Back in the 2000s, I'm pretty sure. They were just
I don't think I was even born to listen to music, but I still know about it.
Yeah, because they're generational.
Yep. Now, how old are you?
I'm 18, so nice. I was born in 2006.
When's your birthday?
May 22nd.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Okay. Are you 2005?
Nah, 2006.
Oh, okay. Man. Okay.
So I'm even born even later, but...
Fair enough.
I go back and watch these things. That's why I'm only one of it.
Nice. So run me through your day-to-day. What does CJ do day in the life of CJ?
Day in the life of me? Usually I wake up, you know, do my stuff, brush my teeth, and then I just go eat. After I go eat, I go to class. After that, sure. I get my work done. After that, I go to my second class.
Okay.
Get ready for that, you know, finish it.
Yeah.
Then after that, I probably go work out. I do a position drill for football.
Nice.
And then after that, go get something to eat. After that, go work out.
Nice.
Then probably hang out with friends.
Nice. Nice. That sounds good.
That's kind of my day after that.
Well, what's your favorite workout in the gym?
My favorite workout? Like, you're talking about, like, position group? Like
Yeah.
Gotta say arms.
Nice.
I love doing arms.
And favorite workout?
Bicep curls.
And you're doing full reps all the time?
Full reps, yeah. Every single time. You gotta go up and down all the way, man.
All the way.
You can't cheat yourself in the gym, man. That's number one.
You can't cheat yourself at all.
Because you're just cheating yourself in life and stuff like that. I just can't do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips for getting up in the morning?
For getting up in the morning, some people like to drink coffee, but if you don't like to drink coffee, drink a nice glass of water, like cold glass of water. That wakes you up immediately,
interesting.
At least for me.
Interesting.
Yeah, some people just don't drink enough, and that's why you're like so tired in the morning and stuff like that.
Interesting.
Also, get breakfast.
Good point.
Big point.
Good point.
It helps.
Yeah, I heard that it should go, in terms of size of meal, it should go breakfast should be your largest, lunch should be second most. And dinner should be the third most.
That's very, very important.
Right?
Because the energy it gives you throughout the day, like, it fluctuates.
100%. Dinners. 100%.
And also, statistically, dinner is the most healthy meal of the day.
Interesting. Most healthy, yes.
Because, like, you're getting eggs and stuff like that. Of course, there's some people that, you know, eat cinnamon buns and, you know,
sure.
I'm talking about, like, you know, I eat yogurt.
Yes.
I eat, you know, eggs.
Good.
So, you know, fresh, you know, blueberry pancakes, you know, stuff that's like fresh and you know that's actually going to be, you know, healthy for you.
Sure. 100%. You know? Nice.
Yeah, it's just, that's the key to life right there, man.
So what's your 5-year goal right here?
My 5-year goal?
Yeah, I do have to go actually at 3:00.
Oh, yeah, I got you. Don't worry, man. But my 5-year goal right now would probably make this, you know, a national podcast. I want to be on ESPN hopefully one day. I hope to be a sports media personality.
Nice.
Even in December, I'm going to be going to different college stadiums, NFL stadiums, pro stadiums, basically, and just report, honestly.
Nice.
See if I could interview any athletes.
Nice.
Test my luck, you know what I mean?
Cool. Nice.
Hopefully this is going to be a very, very successful thing in the future.
Definitely. That would be great.
It would be amazing, sweet. Man. Hey, bro. But I just want to say, it's a little mic. Just don't worry about it. Probably just your side. Yeah. But
Here we go. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're
nice,
all good.
Nice.
Good,
perfect.
I just want to say it's all good. All right. Just put it on the table. Yeah, you're good. I just want to say, Zane, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
No problem,
bro.
CJ.
I need more people like that to come up to me and tell me they want to be on it because I need more, you know, personalities to talk to.
Sure. I only did it because I heard that you were trying to get me on the show, and I was like, you know what, maybe he's nervous, so I thought I'd just take that step, you know, help you grow, start this podcast, maybe something that this could be something that you grow into being like pretty big in the future.
Exactly.
That'd be great.
And it meant a lot, man. I gotta thank you for that.
No problem.
And I gotta thank you for being on the podcast as always. If you got any social media you want people to follow you at, just say,
okay.
You know,
all good. Yeah.
You know, Chase had to put in the social media in.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. Yeah.
But thank you so much, man. You've been amazing. This is Game Day Gridiron. This is CJ Luna, and I'll catch y'all on the next one.
Let's go. I've been holding it down and I got it again and again. Who is the dummy that got on the coldest of remedy falling again and again? I'm in the what? I'm in the day. I'm doing 30 on 30 and up. You in the what? You in the way. Either you rolling or rolling the dust. You with us or what? Keep it running. We did a lot for the wins. Came in a drop on a 10. Now we on top once again. Yeah. I had to tighten the plan. I got it right in the end. Now we on top once again. We
did a lot for the wins. Came in a drop on a 10. Now we on top, top once again. Yeah. I had to tighten the plan. I got it right in the end. Now we on 10.